Welcome to the Jonathan Shuttlesworth podcast. To stay connected, go to revivaltoday.com. And now, here is Evangelist Jonathan.
I want you, if you have your Bibles, open it with me to Psalm 126. The 126th Psalm. We have, from all over the country, the family of a great man who attended this church. His name's Sam Jacquetto, who passed away last Saturday, headed up towards 80 years old. It's the first funeral I've had to do since pastoring this church, and he's my uncle. And I would like his family to stand, who came from all over the country, his great family, if you would stand so they can see it. Came in from California, all over. Please stand. Your father, your grandfather, your brother, whatever his relationship was to you, his memory will forever be a blessing. Amen. We love you. God bless you. My sister, who pastors with her husband in Montreal, Quebec, and fought all the government lockdowns in Canada, she's here today. I'd like her to stand so you can welcome her all the way from Montreal. She has an excellent singing voice, very anointed. I would have her sing, but then she would get extremely stressed out and she won't come back anymore. So out of kindness to her, I'm not going to have her sing. Psalm, what psalm did I say? Psalm 126. When the Lord brought back, who has a King James or New King James? If you could get smaller print, that would be great. I'll take the Air Force fighter pilot exam after reading this. Psalm 126. When the Lord brought back the captivity of Zion, we were like those who dream. Listen to this. When the Lord brought back the captivity of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter. Ever seen somebody get touched by the presence of God? People go, and they laugh. Somebody goes, where's that laughter anywhere in the Bible? Right there. If you learn to read, it would be great for many theologians. The groups of letters make words that you can sound out, and then you go from left to right, and they form complete thoughts. Books are like paper talking that you hear with your eyes. When the Lord brought back the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongues with singing. And they said among the heathen, the Lord has done great things for them. Yes, the Lord has done great things for us. I mean, no, it's not about him doing things for us. It's about what we can do for him. No, there is an element of God. Hebrews 11:6. God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Jesus said in Matthew 7:11, if you fathers being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts? I'm not going to make you repeat words like a parakeet all day, but say that with me. Say, give good gifts. Not meet the needs. Give good gifts. I mean, God's interested in meeting our needs. No proper father is interested in just meeting their child's needs. I don't have Camila here with underwear on wrapped in a blanket and slippers on. That's all she needs. Just a little, you know, some clothes to bundle herself up in. I know, a little bit of a harsh illustration, but she doesn't need this jacket. She would live. She doesn't need a bed. She can lay on the carpet or floor. No proper father is interested in just meeting the needs and survival of their child. A father is happy to see their child blessed. And the older they get, the more happy they are. I remember Rodney Howard Brown telling the story about how his father, and you guys can stay up with me because I'm just going to flow today. And then when you all leave the stage because of the temporary construction of the stage, it sounds like a herd of buffalo on parquet floor. No offense. It's not a weight thing. It's a stage thing. I remember Rodney Howard Brown saying his dad, his tools were precious to him. Some of you, if you have a dad, there's like something, you don't touch it. Don't touch that. I remember my dad and I owned the exact same pair of black dress shoes. They were Johnson & Murphy's. This was like 2002. And he kept his, like, shined, like military shined. And I did not. So we took this. We have the same size foot. So I just took his shoes and put them on. And I'm telling you, he was cooking in the kitchen. He went like this. Whose shoes are those? I said, I don't know. It's hard to say because we have the same pair. Are those mine? Put yours on. So with Rodney Howard Brown, it wasn't his shoes. It was his tools. Don't touch my tools. Those are my tools. They're all hung up in order. He said when he turned 80 and was getting close to going to heaven, he just started like taking them off the wall and giving them to him. As you get older, your joy is to see your children succeed. Well, God is not old. He's super old. He's the Ancient of Days. And his delight, it's even in the Bible, where it says, my joy is seeing my children walk in the truth. That God actually did not send Jesus Christ into the world to die for you so you could get saved and have your name written in heaven. And now, all right, now you're headed to heaven. Leave me alone and go get other people. Now, we do that. We go to housing projects every week because out of a love for God, you reach people with that love. But God's not done with me. You know, hey, all right, Jonathan, I saved you. Now leave me alone and you go get more people. God's as interested in what I'm going to have for lunch today as he is what all those kids are going to have for lunch, 5,000 that we feed every day. An orphan is not more important to God than me, and a widow is not more important to God than a young man. He loves everybody regardless of who they are, and Christ died that you could have a relationship with him. Hebrews 11:6, anyone without faith, it is impossible to please God. For anyone that wants to come to him, in one translation, it says successfully. Anyone that wants to approach God successfully. Do you ever watch Judge Judy? And the way you watched enough episodes that the way somebody was conducting themselves in court, you were thinking, you're going to get in trouble. I would be quiet if I was you. I would quit moving your arms. You know how she conducts her courtroom from watching a few shows, and you're thinking, this person is not going to have success today. They don't know how to act. Well, it's the same with God. God's the Most High Judge. The Word tells you what he likes and what he doesn't like. And so if you're going to approach God successfully, that's the lie. If I could just spend 2 hours with you as your pastor, then I'll hit the road. You won't have to see me the rest of the week. Washington State, I will see you tonight somehow. I want to tell you about God and the Bible and how relationship with God works because this will change your life. Can you say amen? There's a way to approach God. This God knows your heart. You know, God knows my heart. That is a fool's way to teach the Bible. And many pastors have taught people that way. Well, God knows, you know, yes, you can get into all the technicalities. No, let me tell you, somebody doesn't write a book that's this thick with this small print because, do whatever you want. If you put sugar into your gas tank and say, my car knows my heart, you know, whether it's fuel, whether it's sugar, how many of you know the important thing is that you're doing your best? No, your engine is going to seize and your car is going to be totaled. There's a way to fuel a vehicle. There's a way to fix a vehicle. There's a way to cut hair. There's a way to do carpentry that's proper. And then I don't know why everyone, because there'd almost be nobody in this room that doesn't have skill in an area, engineering, something. You know how to do that. You know there's a way that it works. And you know there's a way that it doesn't work. So why people know that works for everything, then when it comes to the most important thing, think it just goes straight out the window. Nah, doesn't matter. God knows. Anyone that wants to come to God must have two things in place. Must believe that he is. And number two, where you lose most people. Must believe that he is a rewarder. Say out loud, God is a rewarder. I mean, no, we don't give to get. No, when you give, you receive because God's a rewarder. I don't know what preachers think it's their job to say literally the exact opposite of what the Bible says. I mean, no, we don't give to get. Show me a place in the Bible God spoke to man about giving where he didn't talk about receiving. I'm not taking an offering. I'm talking to you about God and his giving nature. That if he spared not his only son, how much more will he give us all these other things to richly enjoy? If you approach, if you're taught that God's like the IRS, then you're going to have a relationship with God similar to your relationship with the IRS. What's the minimum I need to do to keep that guy off my back and make sure it's done? Do I need to make my first Holy Communion? Do I need to get baptized? Do I need to go to church, Easter, whatever? Do I need to wear a certain kind of necklace or jewelry? Tell me what I need to do and get this guy off my back. Because God, people then have only taught you that there's a curse for not serving God properly, which there is. But there also is a reward and a blessing for obedience. My wife read that over the children, Deuteronomy 28. It's all through the Bible, a reminder that there's a blessing for serving the Lord. Let's read it. Go to Deuteronomy 28. My wife said she's not going to read the whole thing, so I'll come out of the bullpen and finish it up. Deuteronomy 28. The subheading in my Bible is blessings for obedience. Everybody say blessings for obedience. I would hear missionaries growing up in church. I used to live in sin. I was at clubs. I drank. Then I gave my life to the Lord. Now I'm going to Rwanda to preach, and I could be killed. We won't have much money. And I was thinking at 9. Okay, so you're telling me that when you serve the devil, you're fed and protected, and then when you decide to obey God's plan for your life, then that's going to take you out early? I don't like you. I don't think you're telling me the truth. I don't think God took me out of a better life. What do they call becoming a born-again Christian? Getting saved. Getting saved does not imply leaving a stable ship to join a sinking ship. It implies leaving a sinking ship to join a stable ship. Somehow, the word of God was preached to me through certain people, where I began to understand, not only does God have a reward and a blessing for me, okay, nobody can concede that point. So then what they'll say is, how many of you know whether he rewards us here, whether it's in heaven? Okay, so let's settle it. Is the reward for here or is the reward for heaven? The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 18, godliness. Everybody say godliness. What's godliness? What you're doing right now? Work all week, run errands all week, and be in the house of God. I pursue God. You want me to define godliness? A God-first lifestyle. God everything. Jesus, you want to know how you know when you're starting to live godly? Is when people make jokes about it. Here comes Jesus Joe. And even their insults are like compliments when they talk to you. When I was in high school, going on 30 years ago now, there was a movie that came out called, the movie with Ray Allen? Hoop Dreams? What was it? The basketball movie, Ray Allen, Jesus Shuttlesworth. He Got Game. Thanks. The fact that that came from a white guy in a polo shirt is very shocking to me, but that's my own problem. He Got Game. The star of the movie's name was Jesus Shuttlesworth. Well, I was the only Christian, and I'm not saying this pridefully, nobody went to church. Catholics didn't go to church. Jews didn't go to synagogue. Nobody went to church at my high school. It was in Maine. And so when that movie came out, guess what I was known as the rest of the year? Jesus Shuttlesworth. And I don't know whether they want, that to me, it was a compliment. Now, and white people don't call people Jesus, but in the Spanish world, it's no big deal. I would just be Jesus Shuttlesworth. That's like French and Haitian, I think, but I did my best. So when they start calling you Holy Holly, Jesus Joe, here comes Saint Tom's at work today, it's actually a sign to you that people are recognizing, not that you're a jerk. I don't mean they're calling you that, because before we eat lunch, let me pray. Oh, Father, thank you that I'm not a sinner like these. I don't mean that. I mean just going about your business, living a normal life at work, and they're starting to tell there's a holy nature on the inside of you. The Bible says when you live God first, Timothy, don't let anybody deceive you. Godliness is profitable. Not godliness meets the needs. Godliness is profitable. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. 5,000 men, not counting the women and children, were fed. from 2 fish and 5 loaves, and they filled 12 baskets with the scraps. El Shaddai, I am the God of more than enough. Be perfect and walk blameless before me, and I will make a covenant with you and your descendants. This will be an everlasting covenant. I'm telling you, when you watch Iran fire missiles for 7 straight hours and not one person dies, it doesn't even hit anything. I'm telling you, there's a covenant with God where if you're his child, the heathen can rage, but you can't curse who God has blessed. That blessing is alive. That blessing is available for you. And God has that for you today in Jesus' name. If you receive that, go ahead and clap your hands unto the Lord. Everybody say blessings for obedience. Yeah. Obedience doesn't cause problems. It causes blessing. The problems it causes don't even matter. You people are no longer to park in our parking lot. Okay, is that a trial? Then I'll get SUV stretch limos to bring our people to church. Don't make any difference to me. Somebody got so mad at this church that on Good Friday, somebody from Moon Township, without permission of the city council, put a paper on our window that you're not allowed to have church on Good Friday, and you have to respond to this message by March 34th. So somebody has a drinking problem. Or is following some pagan calendar or something. So we will respond by March 34th. I'll see you in court March 34th. Don't be late. You know what that even shows? That whoever wrote that got so mad that they forgot math. Bible says, why do the heathen rage? They don't like it. They don't like how big. We've had people say off the record, I don't like how big that church is. Not my problem. Take it up with Jesus. And say hi to Herod Agrippa, because you'll end up in the same place as every other fool that has stood against the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because Jesus didn't say, I'll try to grow my church. He said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. You know, just for the record, for whoever hate watches me from local government, just for my own, to make sure what I remembered from high school was correct, I rewatched the life story of William Penn and the Pennsylvania State Constitution. How he was a preacher who went to jail because the king ordered him. I didn't know he was a preacher. He started preaching. He got converted by the Quakers, who would quake under the power of God. And he started preaching, and because it wasn't a state-licensed religion, they put him in prison. His father was one of the head admirals in England. So it'd be like if you were a senator's son. So the king gave word, hey, listen. Just recant what you preach and we'll let you out. And his reply, and I quote, was, I'm willing to make this prison my coffin before I recant what I preach. So his father, watch how godliness is profitable. Whatever it costs you up front, the returns are priceless. Never let the devil get you focused on the cost now. The reward is overflowing. I tell you, whatever you're facing right now, don't let it push you down. God has a high reward with your name on it. If you believe it, can you say amen? So the king owed a debt. Back before when you could just print money as much as you wanted as a government, and it actually had to be backed by something, the England couldn't pay the debt that they owed his father as an admiral for his service in war. So they gave him this land, Sylvania, Woods, Penn, William Penn, Penn's Woods. And when he established it, his words, as a holy experiment. And enshrined in the Pennsylvania State Constitution that churches will always have the right to acquire land and build buildings so people can worship as long as no illegal activity is going on there. Now, I just want to say this while my blood pressure's up, because I've kept my mouth shut a long time, which is difficult for me to do. Whoever's watching me from local, federal, or national government, if you'd like a fight, I not only will take you to court and beat you soundly, I'm not going to do it for me. I will set a legal precedent. I'll beat you so badly. It'll set a legal precedent for the entire nation so that no fool ever tries what you're trying again. Nobody, I had my fill during COVID. It's never going to happen. This church is going to grow and explode. And whatever devil doesn't like it, that devil's the same place today that it'll be tomorrow. Not over our head, but under our feet. Enough's enough. Continuing with this morning's reading. Everybody say blessings for obedience. If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully keep all his commands that I'm giving you today. You know how like you get upset and say something and then you leave the room and then you're not done and you come back and say more? This is this part. Just so you know, whatever loser attorney you have that's advising you, the attorney I have beat Gavin Newsom 3 times. In the Ninth Circuit in California, if you'd like to go to court, have you seen what the federal court looks like in this district? So you will get, I will make it a hobby of mine to sue and sue and sue till the elementary school is named Revival Today Elementary School. Don't push. Don't push. If you jerk the chain, you better know the dog on the other end. I'm not an American pastor. I'm a Book of Acts pastor. You take my head off my shoulders before you cancel my church. Good luck doing that. Not because of men and guns or anything, because of angels. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Anyway. Everybody say blessings for obedience. It's probably good these people left before that part. If they were offended at the greeting, wouldn't have enjoyed that. If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully keep all his commands that I'm giving you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the world. You will experience all these blessings. What's God telling you? What's going to happen if you serve him? Sometimes things will be good. Sometimes things will be bad. There'll be valleys. There'll be mountains. No, that's K-Love. K-Love is not a book of the Bible. It's a radio station. I mean, no, when you serve God, sometimes things don't always work out. That's not what it says. Your towns and your fields will be blessed. Your children and your crops will be blessed. Say the towns and fields will be blessed. How anybody can be in government not be bright enough to understand that if 2,000 people come to a church on Sunday and you look around, they're not beggars. And come 1 o'clock, by the time you finally make your way out of the building, I'm not saying I'm going to preach to one. I'm just saying, you know, after you greet, you have 2,000 people looking for lunch. Except January 2nd through the 22nd. What do you think that does to a local economy? Ask the manager at Pramani Brothers next to the church how he feels about our church. They've sent gift baskets over tons of times. This restaurant's been packed ever since you opened that church. Thank you. It's called intelligence. That when you have a group of people looking to spend money, it actually, the Bible says they'll call you the repairers of the breach. The restorers of the waste places. But there's people in government watching me right now that would rather a building be a vape shop than a church. They'd rather it be church brew works with people breaking each other's jaws and smashing bottles over each other's head and leaving there inebriated and hitting light posts and other people than to ever see it become a church. I know that. I knew that when I was getting into this. It's not important to me. Jesus said, don't worry about that. Just get your head down and get to work. And one of the blessings actually that we're going to cover is, though your enemy will come at you from one direction, I will make him run from you in 7 directions. Tomorrow, we begin the celebration of that. That there was a man named Pharaoh who told Moses, oh, you want your people to go? Listen to me, champ. I will never let your people go. And God said, I heard him. Before I'm done, he'll tell you to go quickly. and Moses that was told to never meet with him again. By the time God was done working on the enemy of the children of God, Pharaoh called for Moses and said, please leave quickly and bless me in the name of your God before you go. The devil may have the first laugh, but if you stay with God, you will always have the last laugh. I see you laughing this month of April in Jesus' mighty name. Your towns and your fields will be blessed. Your children and your crops will be blessed. The offspring of your herds and flocks will be blessed. Your fruit baskets and breadboards will be blessed. Wherever you go and whatever you do, you'll be blessed. The Lord will conquer your enemies when they attack you. They'll attack you from one direction, but they'll scatter from you in seven. The Lord will guarantee a blessing on everything you do and will fill your storehouses with grain. The Lord your God will bless you in the land that he's giving you. If you obey the commands of the Lord your God and walk in his ways, the Lord will establish you as his holy people, as he swore he would do. Then all the nations of the world, the heathen, will see that you're a people claimed by God, and they'll stand in awe of you. The Lord will give you prosperity. I don't believe in prosperity. Then you won't enjoy this church. And also, you should rip this page out of your Bible. Prosperity is not man's idea. That's that prosperity message. Somebody tell me how you can read this book and not see prosperity. Would you consider Abraham middle class? Isaac, Jacob, David, Solomon. Solomon, I will make you rich. That's what God said. You're already rich. I'm going to make you more rich. You'll be so rich that there won't be a reference point for how rich I make you. Elijah, going to where there's no food, making an abundance of food. Elisha, a widow comes. They're going to take my sons away as collateral. Help me. What do you have in the house? Just a little oil. Borrow many vessels. Borrow not a few. And when she did, they poured the oil, and the oil never ceased till they ran out of vessels. Now sell the oil, pay your debts, and you and your son live on what's left. Jesus fed the 5,000. Jesus fed the 4,000. Jesus found fish with gold coins in their mouth. The book of Acts, yeah, but the early church was poor. Oh, yeah? Is that what it means when it says that they gave, and they gave so much that there was no poverty among them? None. Nobody was poor in the early church. What about the Philippian church? The same God that supplies all my needs from his glorious riches in heaven will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. 2 Corinthians, then you'll always have all your needs met and an abundance left over to share with others that you may abound. Everybody say abound. To every good work. I don't know who did it. I know exactly who did it. The World Economic Forum met. Anybody ever heard of the World Economic Forum? Great group of people. We're big fans. They called in a bunch of religious leaders, and they told them, tell your denominations to stop preaching three things. Tell them to condemn three things. Condemn speaking in tongues. Why? The Bible says, he that prays in an unknown tongue speaks mysteries unto man, but speaks directly to God and buildeth himself up. So when you're filled with the Holy Spirit and they're putting whatever crap on CNN or CNBC or MSNBC about COVID, infection fatality rates, cancer rates, other people watch it and fear comes, and fear is a controller and fear is a destroyer. But when you pray the fire of God alive in your spirit, what cripples other people, you can laugh in its face because the greater one lives on the inside of you. And because he lives, so also shall you live. Tell them we don't want that. This is all, I don't have time to like put the graphics up and stuff. I've covered this on YouTube. These aren't things I heard, it's factual. Don't condemn speaking in tongues. Condemn divine healing. We don't believe in healing. Of course you don't. Because Pfizer, Moderna, and Johnson & Johnson that run this country, you know, not in our church, we're blessed with bright people. But you have dummies in America that when they think of Mexico, they say that place is totally controlled by drug cartels, not realizing that our country is as well. It's just ours don't have like snake tattoos up the side of their face. They have white shirts and ties. And they meet and command billions of dollars. Let me tell you something. The Matamoros drug cartel in Mexico never told people they have to do heroin or they can't go to work. It's your choice. These people are actually, are you saying Pfizer is more wicked than the Matamoros drug cartel? Way more wicked. Yeah, but they don't have people killed. Oh, yeah? Nobody died? Nobody died during a... Well, if we still have a YouTube channel left after this sermon, it'll be a Christmas miracle. People that took it died. People that got in the way and tried to speak out were killed. Don't tell those preachers not to tell people that the blood of Jesus heals all manner of sickness and disease. Brethren, and most of you watched me, I kept preaching all through every week of 2020, 2021, 2022. Laid hands on people. When I went to churches where they had every other row marked off by blue tape, I would casually, as I walked down the aisle, throw my hip into it like Shakira and bust it and preach faith and pray for people. Can you say amen? Amen. And I'm alive. I'm alive and well. I prayed for people with COVID in the hospital. I had a head of a hospital, won't say what state, let me through the back door and bring me up to pray for someone. No mask, no gloves. See, I think I had COVID though. Let me tell you, I know three people that died of COVID. I'm not saying it's fake. I'm saying Jesus didn't die for fake diseases. His blood doesn't give you power over pretend diseases. His blood gives you power over real problems to prevail in the real battles of life. Don't preach on tongues. Don't preach on healing. That way we can control them. In fact, it says on YouTube, you know, if they take my channel down and say I violated their terms of service, they're right. In their terms of service on YouTube, it says anybody that says that sickness and disease can be healed by prayer and faith, you violated the service and will lose your channel. So just so there's no doubt about my violation, I want to say that there's no disease or sickness that faith in the Word of God exercised by prayer in your spirit can't break its head and set you free. If you can testify to that today, let the world hear your hand clap. Let the World Economic Forum hear your hand clap. You're never going to shut us up, Klaus Schwab. I'll be alive and preaching the gospel long after you're in a coffin in your spacesuit. Can you say amen? I mean, you don't really have to amen that. But don't talk about tongues. Don't talk about healing. And don't talk about prosperity. So actually, in my opinion, and I'm right, anytime you hear a preacher stand up and say, we don't believe in prosperity in this church, whether knowingly or unknowingly, and many of them knowingly, the same way there are churches that took massive amounts of money, $250,000, $500,000. Want me to pull the videos up of people saying, when you go to get vaccinated, tell them it's from Calvary Baptist Church and we'll get $10? $10. $10. What are you, six? What's your church's plan to do with that $10? You're going to get an ice cream cone. In fact, I don't even know if you can get an ice cream cone now. Please make sure you to let them know that Calvary Baptist sent you. First Assemblies of God sent you. Listen to all these churches. They closed their church Sunday morning because it was too dangerous to gather. But then Monday, it was okay to gather to get the you know what. Somebody explain that to me. Unsafe to go to church, safe to get vaccinated. There's a church that's in the news all this week because of a performance act they had at their men's conference. And the whole church is coming apart. Do you know that church was closed on Sunday and open for vaccination? There's judgment. There's judgment. These people don't know what they did. And they never repented. If you'd repent, you'd be okay. There's a judgment for selling out your calling to be a part of the world spirit. And I want to tell you, as your pastor, I'll never change course. How many of you have ever met my father or uncle that I have in? That's kind of a proof. Because that's me 20 years down the road. So, you know, in our family, we don't do that. Did you know my dad and his brothers don't all talk every day because their talks normally turn into physical altercations. Probably could have left that part out. Did you know without any of them talking to each other, they all kept their churches open during COVID? Did you know my one uncle was visited by the police in Virginia Beach? And they said, Reverend, if your church is open next week, we're going to have to arrest you. You should see the video. He's drinking an espresso out of a little cup. And the cops are, we're going to have to arrest you. And he took a sip and went, see you at 10 o'clock next week. Make sure you bring more than one squad car. They never came back. Then do you know what he did? They had an outdoor service so that when the cops came by, they saw that they were in compliance. It was a pretend service. The church was packed inside with the real service. Then outside they had people. The people in the crowd. Cops were driving by shaking their head. It's not too tough to outsmart the devil. Can you say amen? It's been Wile E. Coyote and the Roadrunner since day one, and it's going to stay Wile E. Coyote and the Roadrunner. I will build my church. Hallelujah. If you're a part of that church, let them hear you one more time. Take 15 good seconds in Pittsburgh, in Texas. Clap your hands, all ye people. Somebody shout hallelujah. Some of what I'm saying is to let you know, because if I were you and I'd been burned before, you're kind of hesitant to throw your full weight behind a leader again. You can throw your full weight behind me. I'm not changing direction. I don't drink. I never have. I never will. I don't do drugs. I'm not going to start. I don't cheat on my wife. You know that because I'm not riddled with bullet holes. And the people that are laughing have never met a Dallas. I mean, I've been faithful and she almost shot me anyway. But it's not a joke. I decided to come home in the middle of the night to surprise her. Don't surprise card-carrying NRA members. I opened the door, and I was drawn on. Tell me your name! Tell me your name! Because it was dark. Me amo es Juan. So then when she knew it was me, she went, don't ever do that again! Still on me. She had lowered her weapon. Okay. You know it's me now. Why am I still being aimed at? You know, I was covering all my bases. I was doing Roman Catholic. I was doing Dominican Catholic. In the Caribbean, they throw the Catholics through like a bunch of extra stuff in. Italy? Dominican Republic? Okay, it's not a dance. It's genuflect. Everybody say, I'm blessed.
I'm blessed.
See, the point is she couldn't kill me because I'm blessed. Blessings for obedience. Your enemy will come at you from one direction. I'll make him run from you in seven. The Lord will guarantee a blessing on everything you do and fill your storehouses with grain. The Lord your God will bless you. I'm going to take an offering at the end. This is not driving to an offering. I'm telling you about the blessing. And the blessing includes money, includes health. Tell those people not to teach on prosperity. Why? Because then they can get you to stay home from work and get you universal basic income, central bank digital currency, and allocate how much you can spend on meat. We need to eat. Did you know that crickets have just as much protein as beef? Great, enjoy it. I'm not eating that. Don't tell me what to eat. You know what prosperity is rooted in as a doctrine? It's rooted in the idea that 8 billionaires in Switzerland shouldn't be allowed to meet together and tell you what to drive, what to eat, and what to teach your children, and what you can speak on. That God didn't create man to be controlled. Can you say amen? That a father, the Bible says, Joshua said, as for me and my house. I mean, no, it takes a community to... No, it doesn't take a community. My mom and dad raised me without any help from the community. How many of you had a mom and dad that raised you and it wasn't a community effort? Yeah. I got spanked by my father. They didn't all take turns throughout the post office or whatever. Everybody say this so the devil can hear you. As for me,
and my house,
we will serve the Lord.
We will serve the
And what they want to do, I'm going to tell you why I'm preaching on prosperity today. Number one, you say, I don't think we should talk about prosperity. Okay, then you should lecture God. Because did God talk about money in the Bible or not? Is essentially the whole book of Proverbs, where did he talk about it? The whole book of Proverbs is basically, do this and you'll be rich, do this and you'll be poor. Do this and you'll live, do this and you'll die. Wealth and riches, silver and gold multiplied. Does the Bible talk about land inheritance? Does the Bible talk about buildings? Sure does. Talks about, because money matters. Money doesn't matter to me. What are you going to do the majority of the work of the week? You're going to go to work. Why? Because you believe in the vision of Target. You believe in the vision of Giant Eagle. Want to just see that cause advance? No. You exchange your time away from your family for money because it takes money to live. And any preacher that ignores that, let me just get the whole thing out today. All right. We don't talk about money in our church. Oh, yeah. Not from the pulpit. But then as soon as they go to build a building, if you're upper middle class or upper class, you get a private visit or a text message. You get challenged. The priest comes by your house. The pastor comes by your house and asks you, you know, as you know, we're getting ready to put a gymnasium on the church. We know that the Lord's blessed you. And if maybe he'd speak to your heart to sow maybe, and they'll even give amounts, $30,000, $50,000, $4 a plate spaghetti dinners, $6 a plate fish dinners, rummage sales. Rummage sales. Can you picture Jesus selling Elvis commemorative plates on a fold-out table in front of the church to raise money for his ministry? Can you picture that or not? Does that look anything like the church in the book of Acts? No. We don't talk about money at this church. Oh, yeah, not publicly, but then you'll go harass people individually. Let me tell you something. Raise your hand if you've ever got a private text message from me asking for money at all. Same for that. I don't text anybody. Have you ever heard me ask you for money privately? I mean me. I don't mean Jonathan Shuttleworth. I mean me. If you get a message online, let me just say, the fact that you even have to make these announcements makes me feel like just going to the middle of Arizona and withdrawing from society. Jonathan, I got a message from you on Instagram. Is this you? Dearly beloved, can you picture in a million years me addressing anyone as dearly beloved? What do you think, I'm the Apostle John? Dearly beloved, I'm raising money for an orphanage. Look at the name. It's not even spelled right. It has 31 followers. It's not me. It's a scam. They have whole call centers in Nigeria. Or they find ministers that have a decent following and then message all their followers, can I pray for you? Can you help me with money? How many of you have ever been on my social media and seen people comment that I'm thinking of killing myself, I run an orphanage and we've run out of food? How many of you have ever seen that? How many of you ever seen when I reply, don't let me stop you? How many of you ever have seen when I write, where can I send a rope and a rickety stool? And then people write, how can you write that? Because it's people trying to prey on innocent, naive people and take their money. It's a scam. There's no orphanage. There's none of that. The devil hates the money that's in the church. I'll give you another thing. When you give by PushPay, PushPay is a secular organization. You know, there's companies that have realized every Sunday, billions, literally, billions of dollars pass change hands. It's like $2 to $6 billion in America, are given in offerings in churches all over the country. So these companies give you the ability to use their platform to give online, and then they take 2%. And then now they've started doing it where when people go to give in the offering, you get a text message. Instead of the church paying 2%, would you like to pay 2%? I don't like that. I don't like companies coming in and trying to get a cut of God's action. So we have the paperwork filed. Patrick's working on it. The government's involved, so it's not exactly quick. But by the end of this year, or first half of next year, we're going to have our own Prosperity Federal Credit Union. Then secondly, that'll give us the power to have our own payment processing center. I'm going to make that available to churches at 0% to put those companies out of business and keep everything in missions. If you give to missions, 98% of it shouldn't go, 100% of it should go. The world's not going to shut down the church, and the world's not going to get involved in the money changing of church business. They're going to find out there is a new church available in America that has not bowed to Baal, that has not
kissed his face, and they're going to do what God's called them to do. If you're a part of that church, let God hear your hand clap one more time. And then once I put those companies out of business, I'm going to start charging 40%. No, just kidding. I'm not going to. You would go to hell if you did that, but it did cross my mind. Deuteronomy 28. Everybody say, I'm blessed. The Lord will conquer your enemies when they attack you. They'll attack you from one direction, but they'll run from you in seven. Verse 11, the Lord will give you prosperity. How many know prosperity is more than just money? Yes, but it also includes money. You don't pay for a place like this with joy. The guy that owns it's name's Tuffy. He's a super nice guy. He doesn't charge. But when I get, okay, let's take LA because he doesn't even charge me, even though I pay. I pay because I'm a capitalist. I don't think people should take a loss to help you. So then let's say they share it in Gateway LAX. We pay for that every night. I don't know what it costs. I don't want to know. I stopped looking at stuff like that a couple years back because it just doesn't matter anymore. I've tried to run out of money. And as long as I've been doing what God tells me to do, the way he tells me to do it, you just can't do it. So I just quit looking. Patrick takes care of that stuff. But when it comes time to pay our bill at the Sheraton, let's say they charge us $3,000 a night for that room for six nights, $18,000 plus tax. Tax in California would probably be another $171,000. And so, sir, you owe $191,000. Now, listen, I don't have any money. But how many of you at the Sheraton know prosperity is more than just money? There's joy. So how about this? Huh? You like that? No, I would be in a hospital in LA. You would be taking a special offering to get Jonathan Shuttlesworth out of the psychiatric unit in Los Angeles. So thankfully for us, God is not a complete idiot who doesn't understand that it takes money. When this church grew out of the 107 building into this building, you can't use our 107 sound system. Nobody would hear. You have to have a concert-grade sound system. You have to have concert-grade screens. The chairs. I mean, just do the math. You actually have people come to church and go, where does all the money go? Look around. What, do you live in a video game world? Chairs, microphone, screens, fans, the children's ministry, the busing, just the chairs. If the chairs were, say they got a deal and they're 10 bucks a piece and they're 799 chairs, that's $8,000 just in chairs. All that stuff. The fans. What do you think a fan like that goes for? It's not a fan you put by your bed to go to sleep unless you want to wake up with hearing impaired. What do you want for breakfast? What? Why is everyone whispering? Thankfully, God knows that. So in the covenant, just like there's healing, when these pastors get up and say, we don't believe in prosperity, whether they know it and have taken money for it, or whether they're doing it in ignorance, they are being used as ministers to puppet the same way preachers open their churches to help the vaccination. Now that they're moving against the American dollar and making bricks and trying to go to a central banking digital currency, and they want young people that won't work. Why do you think they legalized marijuana? They want a whole class of people that are high on marijuana, on antidepressant medication, seasonal anxiety disorder. Boy, am I going to be shocked one day in the next 10 years when they prove that that's not an actual thing. We've discovered that when it's cloudy out, it doesn't actually cause a psychological problem. Put you on all kinds of drugs. Get you an Xbox, Wi-Fi. I have an Xbox and I have Wi-Fi. I'm not preaching against that. Get you an Xbox and Wi-Fi, universal basic income, high as a kite. Did you hear they said we can't go to work? Did you hear they said churches are closed? Do you hear that? And just some passive group of losers that they can run roughshod on to fulfill what the Bible prophesied in Revelation. And what they have a major problem with, they don't mind if there's 21 people in this church or 38 people. No big deal. But when you start getting a church that's bigger than what's going to Pittsburgh Pirate games, and it's only 2 years old. Then it spreads to Texas and starts spreading over the country and other countries. Now they realize they have a problem on their hand, because at this church, people aren't getting on medication. They're getting off medication. They're not getting on weed to make it through the day or alcohol. They get new wine from heaven that fills them with joy, joy unspeakable and full of glory. So they're not able to control you. And then money's getting taken out of the pockets of all those industries that prey on making sure your child is medicated by age 8 at 10, 12 years old. Look at the plan. If you don't understand prosperity, we're in an election year. Just listen during the election year. How many people their plan is going to be. If you get me elected as a senator, as a rep, we're going to make early education available to all children. We're going to make after school care available to all children. So they raise the taxes. My sister's in Canada. Just so people know I'm not nuts and there's like a stable person here. Stand up next to me. In Canada, they just passed a carbon tax last month. April 1st. So they're the first country that did what they're trying to do here and pass a tax on carbon. Tell them how much a packet of chicken is at Costco now.
Like $58.
Yeah, because you're the carbon they're trying to eliminate. Those people think, thank you very much. I won't ruin your ministry by making you have too many pictures with me. You, she still has a reputation to uphold. Mine has been gone a long time ago. When they do that and raise the prices, what does it force people to do? You work all day as the husband. The wife works all day. Do you want to know why the divorce rate used to be 8%? You think it was because everyone was super loving in the early 1900s? They weren't. If you look at pictures of your grandparents and great-grandparents, they didn't even smile for pictures. Their wedding photo looks like they're going to death row. Oh, stand next to me. This is a 1920s wedding photo. I can't. Your grandfather, your great-grandfather never told your grandmother that he loved her for 40 years. He didn't say anything at all. He just read the paper and grunted. They weren't in love. There was no difference in the love. My sister, where they pastor, her husband told me a funny story. Hopefully enough times passed that they're okay with me telling it. He had a lady come in for counseling, and she told him, I'm done with my husband. I can't take it anymore. I'm leaving him. And then she went down the list of all the things he does, and he said, I believe you, but let's keep in mind, you're 85. Can you maybe just ride out 7 more months? One more summer? What are you going to do? Why are you laughing? That's Tony laughing. Are you going to leave your husband at 85 and get on Tinder? The photo's blurry because you don't know how to make a selfie. My name's Ethel. I like knitting. I grow delicious strawberries. Okay, we'll save you for later if, like, everyone else says no. Hold on. I'm going to pull up my profile picture to Tinder. Where's my beautiful floral brooch? I want people to see that. They didn't have a low divorce rate back then because everybody's in love and America was such a great place. It was because they had time together. The wife was able to stay home. The husband came home. You enjoyed each other. You got to talk. You got to do things together. Now, everybody is out of the house. I'm talking to you about prosperity. That's why it's not a side issue to me. Don't tell me that the 1960s, where they started upping tax, putting women in the workforce, it was all by design. I can't get anybody to get up and leave. Isn't it interesting how as they started upping taxes, and I'm not against women working. My wife was in Texas preaching while I was in California preaching. Don't take what I'm saying the wrong way. But do you think it was an accident that as they up taxes, it's actually documented that they realized if women stay home, that's half the population that we're not getting any tax revenue from. And so we're going to put a movement in where we glorify women in the workforce working while they raise taxes. And people went, right, women's empower, they're empowering you. For what? Now that started in the 60s. It's almost been 100 years. Has it brought power or has it collapsed families? So now you leave home at 6, you and your husband. You see each other win again. 7, 8:30, 9:15, freaking exhausted. Nothing left in the tank. Your child is dropped off at early education and they're at school from 7:30 a.m. till 5 p.m. Early education, school, after school. Are they being taught engineering? Are they being taught engineering? Are they being taught budgeting and economics and how capitalism works? No, they're not. They're being taught to question their gender. They're being taught about how to have sex. They're being taught about, even me, there's some stuff I won't say publicly. Because you know what they're being taught? What are they being taught in Canada at first grade in the eastern provinces? Tell them.
Yeah, they're being taught in preschool all about their body parts, what they're called, that they should touch them, that they deserve to understand what pleasure is.
Self-touching lessons at 4. No, I wasn't like rebuking and taking the mic. Our ministry has only been able to afford one mic. We had to sell the other one to go to Los Angeles. Yeah, I've had enough. You give me that back. You sit there and you listen. At 4. So the things they're trying to pass here, I have a sister who pastors in a country where they've already passed it. I know what the agenda is. Did you know Canada just became the first country that carbon tax is going to be paid? Who's it being paid to? Is it the World Economic Forum or the UN? Yeah, the World Economic Forum. The people's taxes aren't going to Canada. They're going to the World Economic Forum. That's who Trudeau is. He's a puppet for those guys. And so why hasn't that worked in America? Because there's still a bunch of roughnecks in places like Allegheny County and Beaver County and Butler and Washington County and especially Greene County that say they don't even know why. And many of them don't even know why. You couldn't even explain to people why you didn't want to get vaccinated. I don't know. I don't like it. Something about it. I don't like that Fauci guy. I don't like him. I don't like this. Something doesn't feel right about this. Then you started digging around and you ended up with your butt sitting in church. Because you realize it's actually not about the World Economic Forum and America. It's actually about the spirit of this world and the spirit of Christ. And brother and sister, you're in the right place today. Because this is the day to make up your mind. Not only am I not going the world's way, I'm going to go God's way. I'm going to get the blessing and everything they're trying to take away, I'm going to receive it in Jesus' name. I see your family blessed. I see your house serving the Lord. I see your children never bowing to the wickedness that they're being taught. Go ahead and celebrate it. Take another 15 seconds and let it rip. Come on, let it rip. Shout it out. I am blessed. The Lord will give you prosperity. Everybody say, I receive prosperity. The Lord will give you prosperity in the land. Why would anyone not want prosperity? Prosperity gives you the ability to tell the teacher, you teach that, I'm yanking my kid. Or just yank him ahead of time. That's the only reason I put my daughter in Christian school. It wasn't because I wanted her to have a Christian education. It was because I didn't want to be doing 25 to life from actions I took at a parent-teacher conference. Because I promise you, if they sat my 4-year-old daughter down and gave her self-touching lessons, the new covenant would go out the window. I would show up in camel hair with a glued-on beard because I can't grow one. At 43, I still can't. And I would say, who taught this lesson? Sir, sit down. I'm not. No chance. And as much as I'm half joking around, I pray some kind of the fire they've tried to take from you through weed and antidepressants and estrogen-laced foods.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm against it too, you know. What are you going to do? All the fire they tried to take out of your bones through estrogen-filled food. Don't eat steak. Now listen, just looking at you telling me not to eat steak makes me, I'm not even hungry for steak. I'm going to eat it just to not look like you. You actually had a guy on Joe Rogan's podcast telling him he shouldn't eat steak. You should have seen the guy telling him he shouldn't eat like steak. So what do you eat? You look like you eat Starbursts and hot dog casing. With your doughy face, feminine features, and you're telling Joe Rogan what he should eat? I don't care where you got your degree from. Nobody wants to look like you. I'm going to go find out. I know some people who know him. I'm going to find out whatever Sylvester Stallone's putting in his body. That guy's 78 years old. I follow him on Instagram. I'm gonna pump myself, whatever you can legally. I don't care if I have to meet a doctor at a pier at 2 in the morning in New Jersey. I'm not going. I'm not going to be waddling around at 50 years old. I'm going to tell you something. Just to stick it to those people, we're going to have the healthiest church, the strongest church, strong men, strong, beautiful women, strong in old age, strong in old age. You know what prosperity is? Prosperity is strong in your body, strong in your mind, strong in finances, strong in influence, strong in honor. Prosperity is strength from God. I don't believe in prosperity. I know, I looked at you. You like dudes. Deuteronomy 28. Probably could have left that part out. The Lord will send rain at the proper time from his rich treasury in the heavens and will bless all the work you do. You will lend to many nations, but you will never borrow. Go to PNC Bank and count how many Hasidic Jews you see sitting in the mortgage office waiting to see if they can get a loan. Count them. Tell me when you find one. If you find one, he's lost. His car broke down or something. I promise you right now. You will never, ever catch a true Jew taking a loan from a Gentile. You know why? Because you can actually do more in life fully believing the first 5 books of the Bible than sort of believe in all 66. Now, I believe there's some truth to that. Let me tell you how much truth there is to that. We were given 107 patent draft as a gift, $5.3 million. When we outgrew that, the man that owns this gave this to us, and he bought all the chairs, and I actually talked him out of building an addition onto the side of the building with a study in it so that I could study there before church at a soccer dome. Given. 24.8 acres. Given. And I got more testimonies coming that'll blow those ones out of the water. Then the Lord says, start a second church. How the heck are you going to get from Pittsburgh to Fort Worth? Ain't going to do it on a bicycle. Man calls up, I'm dropping a plane off on Monday for you. You know what he said last week? Is it okay if I paint your logo on the jet? It's his jet. That lets me know he's not taking it back. He must like what I'm using it for. Let me tell you something. I've tried to be an example to every person here. You don't have to go the way the world's telling you to go. You can put your heart in God's heart and go a different direction. And you and your children and your children's children. Say it, I'm not cursed. I'm blessed. You will lend to many, but thou shalt never borrow. This church has never taken a loan. This church is not debt free. It's never had any debt to be free from. I used to have a credit score of like 11. My family's here. They tell you the truth. Jenny and Tony, how long did I live with you the one time? Made it seem like I was visiting, but my mail started coming there. This is not a joke. How long did I live there? 3 weeks? I love the backyard because they want to let me in the house. If you're, I don't believe, these guys talk about that. I there might be some truth. I don't have anything. Neither did I. Anything. They gave me their car to take to meetings when my other car was totaled. And the check they gave it, you know, when my car got totaled, I feel like telling the guy, you should have seen it before the accident. It really didn't look any different. It was already totaled, to be honest with you. The inside looked like an episode of Hoarders because it was also my house. These are not jokes. You hear my sister laughing? It's not because they're jokes, because she's remembering. I used to, when I would preach like this at 24 and stuff, I'd have people tell me, you need to be careful, you could get sued. Don't you have to have assets to get sued? What are you going to sue me for? You want my totaled car that I pre-totaled before the accident? They're going to sue you. I live on my parents' couch. And then sometimes I ask my cousin if I can come visit her and don't leave. What are you going to take from me? I don't have anything. Don't get sad. I'm starting to make you laugh here. I heard one girl, oh. No, look, it ends. Now I have like a necktie and stuff. It's all right. Look at the confused Texans. What the heck are we watching? Why did you take me here? Can we get barbecue? Don't look at where you are now. Hallelujah. I see my brother-in-law back there. Stand up so everybody can see you. This is Magalis' husband. I don't know how low her self-esteem was when she married him. No, I'm kidding. He had a great construction business in Connecticut, and the Lord spoke to him to move here. You know, when you're in construction, you need contracts and clients. He built a client base in Connecticut. He had no clients here, and he moved because the Lord spoke him. On the drive down, a pastor found out he was coming who knew me, and said, would he finish the renovations on our church? Would he do them? They were redoing the whole inside of the church. I said, sure he will. And called him and put him in touch. So the pastor gets off the phone with Abel. And a guy stops by the church. I'm having the whole inside of my house redone. But the guy relapsed on heroin and hasn't shown up. I don't know what I'm going to do. So the pastor tells him, there's actually an expert contractor, sight unseen. There's actually an expert contractor moving now from Connecticut that's going to redo this whole church. Would you like his number? He's a Christian. Yeah. So then he gets him. Then that guy referred him to another guy. He had three contracts driving from Connecticut to Pittsburgh. And it's never let up. Never let up. They have a rental house. They have an actual house. Get your phone out. I'm going to give you the address to both places. So if you want to come thank them, they cook. You can go see them anytime you want. Don't look at where you are now. Abraham, leave your father's family, your native country, and go to the land that I'll show you. There's things you have to leave. You wish you could take everybody with you. You wish all your cousins would believe. You wish your mother would believe. You wish everybody would believe. And they'd all jump on board and say, yeah, let's go. That's awesome. Let's all prosper together. But they don't.
I think that place is a cult.
It's not a cult. Cults have bunk beds. I will never sleep in the same room with any of you, I promise you, before God. I hate living with people because I had to do it for a long time when I didn't have any money. It's not a cult. Doesn't make this church a cult because you won't marry your live-in boyfriend. It doesn't make this church a cult because you won't stop drinking. That's what happens. People come, then they find out, oh, it's not just God. God's not Santa Claus that blesses everybody. If you will obey my command, diligently hearken to the words I've called you to do. So then people hear the part they don't want. They don't want to get married. They want to just have sex for free, which is what's killed this country. Have sex, kill the child. Have sex, kill the child. You know, the way you hear people talk about abortion, you think they're trying to discover how babies are made. What are women supposed to do when they get pregnant? What is it, like a birthmark? Just grows. There's an action you take. S-E-X. I'm talking about sex. Oh, getting quiet. Must be hitting the nail on the head. When I was younger, if I got quiet, I moved on. Now I find out where you got the pulse. People want to go out every Friday and Saturday and sleep with whoever they want and kill the child and keep on going. That's what abortion's about, if you didn't know. I feel like I'm giving this speech at a Planned Parenthood rally. So be it. That's what abortion is. I want to do what I want, and that baby can die. We're supposed to back off of our abortion stance? You think it's more radical to have a heartbeat bill than to have a partial birth abortion? Find me a Democrat that doesn't believe, and I don't like Republicans either. They tell you to stay out of politics as a pastor because you alienate half the crowd. I'll alienate the whole crowd. And you know why no Republicans ever take a stand on abortion? Because their mistresses all get them. They're not living clean. They know what to say to the church to get their vote. But you know what? I'm going to bypass every last one of you. I found out I don't need the Republican Party. I don't need the Democrat Party. I don't care who wins the next election. This church is going to go high, high, because I will set you above. You will, if you do what I tell you to do, you'll never drop to the level of the nation you're in. I will set you far above all the nations of the world. All right, I'm going to wrap up. Unfortunately, I would like to preach till service starts in Washington. If you listen, everybody say, I will listen to these commands and obey all of them, the Lord will make you the head and never the tail. He'll do what? I heard you a little bit. He'll what? You will always be on top. And never at the bottom. I mean, no, to get from one mountain to the other, you have to go through a valley. That's not even true in geography. There's multiple peaks. I was in Rocky Mountain National Park last September, and we went from one peak, and then we went up to another peak. There's no valley in between. There's no valley the whole drive. And then, secondly, this isn't geography class. I'll put you always on top. The last defeat, listen to this now. The last defeat you had will be the last one you ever have. Israel never lost a battle till they betrayed their covenant with God in Joshua 6. He told Joshua, everywhere your foot will tread, I'll be on land. And we're not hoping Pittsburgh works. Let's see if Fort Worth works. Hopefully we'll have success out in L.A. Who knows? No, it's impossible not to have success. And there's basically, you want to sum up the Bible in like three things? If I don't cheat on a dollar, I don't take money that doesn't belong to me out of the offering, and I don't take the glory that belongs to God, which is why I've been having them even edit out in the testimonies when people say, thank God that Jonathan prayed for it. Take that part out. Leave me out of it. Give all the glory to God. Ask my first grade teacher in the front row. I had a speech impediment and braces on my legs before I got a hold of God. So I don't want anything. We don't even have Pastor Appreciation Sunday. Not that that's illegal or wrong to do. I want to get extra out of thank you. Put all, anything, okay, I'll take it a step further. Anything bad that happens, blame me. Anything good that happens, give all the glory to God. If you say, I don't understand why this doesn't happen, just say, blame me. Say, Jonathan, my pastor needs to do better. That's fine. I'll take all the blame and give all the glory to God. I don't want any ice cream cake. I don't want a $100 gift card to Applebee's in October, whatever you get for being a pastor. Another reason we don't have Pastor Appreciation Sunday? I saw what pastors get to be appreciated. And if that's the reward, I will fling myself off the roof of this building. If I'm doing everything I did the last 3 weeks so I can get an ice cream cake that says congratulations, pastor, and congratulations is spelled with a Z because they messed up, I'm done. I'm out of here. But I'm not doing it for the reward and praise of people. If you're not doing it to be praised by people, then their criticisms can never harm you. When you're doing it to please God and obey His calling on your life, it's such a joy. The rewards come one after another. And I'm telling you, whatever rewards you've experienced from God up until now, this coming week, this Passover week, you are going to see the goodness of God. And it's not going to let up after Passover. From the end of April through December 31st, I'm telling you, no prayer required. You are stepping over into another realm of the blessing of God. Just like things are getting darker in the world, they are getting brighter for the children of God. So rejoice and be glad, for the Lord has given you the victory. How long does it take for this stuff to work? This is a couple that came to our church about 4 weeks ago from the local area. They heard the message on tithing, and rather than get mad and storm out, they said, we don't have any money to tithe, but we run a tire shop. Let's tithe tires to the pastor. So they came up to me after. I didn't know their backstory or anything. They said, can we put all new tires on your vehicle? I said, sure, that'd be nice. I'm leaving. They'll give you the vehicle. And they did. And they detailed the inside. And I didn't know they weren't doing it. They weren't doing it because they felt bad for me. I have a very nice vehicle. They told me after. When they did it, see, it's funny, when you give, it turns your heart on. Where your treasure is, there your heart is. They said, let's believe that God will double our business. And this is 4 weeks 5 weeks, 6 weeks top since that happened. Play the video.
My name's Ashley. This is my husband, Bill. We're local in Coriopolis, and we never went to church before, but we just really felt a call to get to a church. So I started to pray, just God, show me a church. Where can I go to hear the word?
Pause it. When we pray every day and pray, Lord, speak to people, grow this church. What young lady with her young husband that doesn't go to any church and hasn't gone starts to pray, Lord, show me a church. I want to start going to church. And then get shown this church. Go ahead.
And the girl that does my hair actually told me about Revival Today. So I looked
Pause
it up.
Getting a barber saved and on fire for God or a salon owner is the equivalent of having 200 evangelists. Because they talk all day. If you're in that field, if you're a barber or you own a salon, you actually don't do hair. You're a therapist who happens to cut hair while you do it. Continue.
And first we just kind of played it in the living room. And my husband wasn't necessarily really like open, didn't want to go to a church. So I just slowly introduced it, had Jonathan just screaming through the house. And slowly, you know, I came to church first by myself. And then the next week, you know, I didn't want to pressure him. And I just prayed, like, God, just change his heart, just touch him. And that Saturday he texted me and said, hey, I really want to come to church with you. He made that decision himself. And then we came. And if you want to just talk about the opportunity with the tires.
Absolutely. I own a tire company. After coming in November, I opted to tithe some tires to the pastor here. I was believing in an opportunity that the business would triple, hopefully quadruple, and I'll tell you what, things have never been better. All I can do is thank God, thank the church, thank Pastor Jonathan for giving us that opportunity, my family and I. Nothing's been better. So,
and they came up and told me that. We weren't fishing for tithing testimonies. They said, do you remember when we put the tires on your car? You're never going to believe what happened. Our businesses, we were believing for it to double. It tripled already. Can you say amen? Again, this is not driving to an offering. I'm telling you that anybody, any dummy with nothing that decides to engage it. All right, God, rather than get mad at your word or stay neutral to your word, that's what they did at first. At first, he didn't want anything to do with the word. Then second, I'll be neutral. I'll let it play in my house, but I'm not going. Then they went and decided to engage it. Everybody say engage it. Engagement with God's word is what brings the blessing. All right. I'm going to put 4 tires on that guy's car, believing that as I sow that, God's going to increase our tire business. There haven't been 6 months of me encouraging him. No, I know you're bankrupt now, but you just keep holding on. No, you're never going to believe what happened. That 3 weeks later, contracts started to come in. All God wants is to be first. Now I close with this. 12:14, if you'll stay with me, like locked in. April 19th, this Friday, was the best day I've ever had in my life. And I'm going to share with you what happened because I almost passed out and I'm still not over it. And I'm still trying to wrap my own head around it. How many of you were here last week and a couple weeks before for the miracle service where I said there's something the devil's trying to do to stop the flow of finances and we're going to stand against it and break it. Anybody remember that? Anybody remember what I put in the offering last week? How much? $20,000. That was my money, not church. You can't put church money back into church money. That's from my salary. And I did that for a reason, because I could tell something was up in the spirit. Even the Iran stuff. You know what this is? Passover. Pharaoh flared up, and then there was the release during Passover. So there's a flare up in the natural realm. We got delisted by Cash App. We got a message out of nowhere. Your ministry has lost its Cash App account for violating our terms and services. We don't do anything. We don't launder money or anything. We leave that to the U.S. Senate. If you're watching, I meant every word I said. We don't do anything. So what is it? When the devil knows that the children of God are going to get released from his captivity, he starts trying to kill all the baby boys in Egypt. He starts trying to stamp down the Israelites. That's why we have that dumb line on that billboard, when the devil starts messing, God starts blessing. To try to focus people that if it seems like you're getting attacked out of nowhere, don't batten down for the long haul. It's the devil's last little flare up, little hissy fit before he takes off and you get your blessing. He knows there's a blessing coming your way, and I could feel it. I've told adults before. Adults, let me see if you can say this without us ever having discussed it. Grab the mic real quick. Anytime, I've said this to her because it's happened so many times. Anytime the devil's gone out of his way to discourage me,
God encourages me.
God goes out of his way to encourage me. So anytime, like when Cash App went down, I knew something big was going to happen. Because
I know you're to take your Cash App.
That's the devil. He's like a 5-year-old.
I'll take your Cash App. Mine.
Whatever.
I don't like you. I don't like you.
I had a demon-possessed person one time in the middle of my preaching. They stepped on.
I don't like you.
That's encouraging. If a demon stepped on, I like you. I'm like, uh-oh, that's not good.
I don't like you.
I went, hey, that's great. Feelings mutual. Can you say amen? So this Friday in L.A., hallelujah. I finished my morning broadcast, and I had 9 missed calls from McGallis and Kofi. So I thought, well, I guess the FBI's there or something. And they said, why is Tony so happy? Somebody, are we still doing drug testing on the musicians? If not, let's start it back up again. I want every musician urine tested every Sunday. So I call back. They say, can we FaceTime you? FaceTime me. We have that building that we use on Sundays in Fort Worth, but to be a church, you need midweek stuff. We don't have a room for that. And so a guy who owns a community church in Lake Worth, next to Fort Worth, gave us a beautiful new 140-seat church that's now ours. Turned over. Whoever you, my friend, if you're watching in Texas, so I want all our Texas family to know, you're not our stepchild. My prayer and my faith's out for you. We're going to build Fort Worth big. We're going to build Pittsburgh big. We're one big family all over this nation and all over the world. Don't show the crowd, guys. Great production. You do great. That would definitely not, no, yes, show this crowd. Don't show the Texas crowd that I just mentioned. You're doing great, though. There you go. Hey! We love you, Texas. So, I'm so thrilled. And then, 2 hours later, same day, Adalis calls. Get to grab the mic and you tell him. You tell him how you want to tell him.
What do you want? How much are we going to say?
That's why I'm leaving it to you, because I would say the whole thing. I don't hide anything.
Then go ahead and say it. All right, so I was flying from here to Texas for the Reigns event.
At Pittsburgh Airport.
At the Pittsburgh Airport, Terminal A, Gate 3. And I'll never forget it because this guy, who usually doesn't call my cell phone too often, he helps us with all kinds of real estate stuff already. So I was thinking, oh, he probably has a question, regarding the church. So I pick up the phone and, he just starts talking and he's like, hey, how you been? I was like, great. He's like, I've been trying to contact your husband since Monday. Again, this is Friday, April 19th. And he doesn't seem to be picking up my phone calls. And I said, that's okay. He doesn't pick up my phone calls either. I've been trying to call him for the last 4 days too. So it's all right. So he just starts talking and he goes, well, he's like, I'm calling because, you remember that house that you looked at a couple months ago? So a couple months ago, he's a real estate guy and he was just showing some homes. And so me and my sister, we just wanted to see the homes. And I have been praying for a home for 17 years of my life.
And I have been, because I love her, for me, a home, I'm not home. I get home Saturday at 8:01 a.m. and I'm leaving this afternoon. And it's been like that every week. But for her, you know what the $20,000 was that I saw? That was money that I had saved, that I was saving up for a house for my wife. And I just, when I got in the anointing last week, I thought, you know what? I'm not doing this. I'm not going to try to like get house money. Here you go. All yours. Go ahead.
So last year we did prayer and fasting and I stood and believed for a home. And then when we received the property, I thought, well, God, you know, I am serious about building your kingdom first. And so I said, so I know that I prayed for a home and I said, in particular, I wanted the cash to do it because we read Deuteronomy 28 to you.
You will lend and you shall not borrow.
And so we've stuck
so
by
I
that.
So I won't, I'm probably the only person in the world that has a private jet and lives in an apartment.
It's a townhouse. But
which
anyway.
Which is what they call apartments to make people feel better. Go ahead.
So we've stuck by that and we've had ample opportunities and people offering all kinds of things.
But listen, everybody say commit to the, say commit to the word.
Commit to the word.
I'm not, if you said you'll give me a blessing where I lend and don't borrow. Like last year when we gave the million to Pastor Rodney. I'm not saving up money to build a church. I'll sow a million and believe that comes back 100-fold. And then same with the house, even though you look like an idiot. Go ahead.
So, he's going to interrupt me like 100 more times, so it doesn't matter. But, I told the Lord, I said, I'm believing to pay cash for it. So I need a lump sum transferred over because I take my tithing very seriously. So I said, this is how much I gave on April. Oh my gosh. April of, I think it was 2021, we sowed $100,000.
That's right.
And I think
we had 108,000.
I got to look at the
check. We had 108,000 to our name, saving up for a house. And I gave 100 and went back to 8, left like 2 months bills in the account.
It just hit me right now. So I said, I have given you large amounts of money and I'm expecting a return. And so as I was praying and fasting and I had a few
Pause
friends join me.
Is that right or wrong to do? Are you allowed to tell God that you gave and you're expecting a return? If you're wrong, then Jacob was wrong. Because Jacob said, I'll give you my tithe if you bring me back safely to land, give me food and clothing and protect me, just like you said. He expected God to do his part when he gave. It actually shows faith when you expect God to do what he said he would do.
Amen. So as I was kind of tossing that over, I thought, how am I going to, if somebody wrote me a check for $1 million, I said, I'm just going to write it over to Revival Today Church because I can't go to a beautiful house and then not have, you know, have in the back of my mind that we don't have a church or a place to set up for kids. So I covenanted with the Lord and I said, Father, if you want a house for me, this is last year. I said, you're going to have to just straight up give me a house because if anybody writes me a check of any amount, it's going right to the establishment of this church because I take you seriously.
I told him the same thing.
So
talking to you.
But listen to this because you were talking.
Because I'm not heaven. You know what you have in America? You have pastors with beautiful homes and crap churches.
Yeah.
Ripped up indoor, outdoor carpeting in the church, water damaged ceilings. And then when you go to their house, they live in a beauty. Rent a hotel for church, but they don't live in a hotel. They live in a house. I told God, I'm doing it the opposite. If you think I'm under house, you think I'm under clothed, you can do that. I'm going to build your kingdom and keep building it till I go home to see you.
And Bishop David Oyedepo said, if God wants you to have it, he'll give it to you. And his prayer started sounding, if you don't take me there, may I never go. If what is it? What is the thing?
If God can't give it to me, may I never have it. If God can't take me there, I don't want to go. If God can't do it, let it remain undone. I leave everything for me in your hands. My focus is on building your kingdom.
That's it.
Because I'm telling you the truth. You don't have to pick one. But if I had a 20,000 square foot home, and a church of 40 people, I would be.
Pained.
It would bother me. My satisfaction, like, I'm not saying this will sound like spiritual. When I come out from that curtain and see this place flooded with exactly 799 people, it makes me happy. That's my joy. Go ahead.
So I told the Lord that. and he completely stripped the desire for a home. So in 2024, I started praying and I was thinking, even on the vision board, I'm like, I don't even feel like I'm so content right now with where I'm at and what we're doing, the hard work that we're doing.
And I can vouch for it, because up until this year, she would tell me, I'm not putting anything into this house because I want to get a house. Then at the beginning of this year, she started putting a bunch of money into like fixing up our townhouse. And she said, I'm fine here. What do we need to move anyway? And then like bedded down like that was going to be our home.
So that's what I told him. And I was very adamant about it. And this year it was not even on my radar. In fact, I had a friend ask me, is there anything in particular you want me to pray for you about? And I said, no. And they were like, what about the house? And I'm like, I want to get this church going. That's my heart's desire. Same. And so in gate A, A3, I pick up this phone and he said, hey, me and my wife, we just, that house that you were looking at last year, he's like, we just want to give it to you. Mm-hmm. I know. So I quickly began to disrobe because I just was starting to sweat out of every part of my body. And so I'm trying to contain myself, but I'm slowly dropping down to the ground. And now I'm like this in the middle of the terminal, just like laid out. And he said, and I'll do you one better. He's like, don't bring any of the furniture that you have at your old townhouse. I'll buy you brand new furniture. And then he said, and by the way, I heard that Brother Jonathan was going to go and get a vehicle. He's like, I want to get you a vehicle as well.
Because the house is listed at $864,000. And he said, I want to make it an even million. So I'm going to put the furniture and the vehicle in. Now, what did we do last year? And anybody have an offering envelope? What does it say on the offering envelope? $1 million offerings, $1 billion flow. Did we make that up? Did a consulting group say that? No. My Uncle Ted, last January, under the Holy Ghost, said, the Spirit of the Lord says, $1 million offerings, $1 billion flow. And when I said that, I thought, okay, I'm going to participate in the $1 million offering. God, if you get me to 3 million, I'll give one. And I did. And then from that day came the $1 billion flow. That was within 4 hours. Brand new church in Texas. Home for me, car, furniture in one day. So then I wasn't, stay up with me. Yeah. So then I wasn't going to announce it. And in California, they like pulled it out of me. So you'd think, you know what they tell you in the ministry? Don't tell people stuff like that, because if they think you don't have, if they don't think you're poor as a preacher, nobody's going to give. Well, you can't lie to people. And you know, you want to know another reason I'm telling you about our house? Because when KDK lets you know one day he lives in a $1 million home, just remember it is. And I don't apologize, because if somebody hands me a house, I say thank you. And if KDK doesn't like it, sorry, it's a slow news day. A guy walks up to me as I'm walking out of church and says, I'd like to give you a housewarming gift. This is 10 ounces of gold, which is about $2,500 a piece. So I got my 20 back plus 5. This is in 1 week. So do you know why I'm telling you this? I'm telling you because I told you last week there's going to be a stirring in the world and in the spirit leading up to Passover. Did I not? That the devil's trying to block the people of God's money. And I said, we're going to stand against it and break it. And let me tell you, that thing broke. We're going into Passover Monday. Passover is when Pharaoh makes, when the Egyptians have to release to the children of God what belongs to them. I am telling you this because God's no respecter of persons. What he does for one, he'll do for all. Get ready for the best week that you've ever had. You're leaving. I said, get ready for the best week that you've ever had. May God embarrass you with blessings. May God embarrass you with blessings this week in Jesus' mighty name. In Texas, in Pittsburgh, everybody in the sound of my voice, get ready. Stay on your feet, everybody. Lift your hands all over this place. Adonis, I'm going to have you pray for the congregation. And I'm taking one Sunday to do this. How do you have that happen and then just not, well, I'm not going to talk about it.
I'm telling you, I told you how I was before I found out about this stuff, living with my kind cousin and her husband. And I'm not there anymore. Don't worry about where you're at now. Anybody that hearkens unto my voice, this wicked attempt to take money out of the American family's pocket, God is going to take money out of their pockets and put it in the pockets of the people that belong to him. Where's that in the Bible? The wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just. World Economic Forum, my money's not going to flow to the World Economic Forum, but their money's going to start flowing into the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name, I see the most blessed business owners in Pittsburgh here, in Texas here, in California here, in New Jersey here, in Florida here. The anointing of Abraham comes on you today to swim in the blessing of God. And I just want to say publicly, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for this church building. Thank you for 107. Thank you for 24.8 acres. Thank you for the church in Fort Worth. Thank you for the second church in Fort Worth. Thank you for the office building we have down there. Thank you for the home we have down there for when we're there. Thank you for the jet. Thank you for everything. Thank you that you're a God that keeps your word and you're too faithful to fail. I love you. I don't care how controversial it gets. I thank you that you're Jehovah Jireh, the God that meets needs. You're El Shaddai, the God of more than enough. We thank you that you're a covenant-keeping God. And there's nobody like you. Every hand lifted, I want to have my wife bless you.
Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for being a merciful God. I thank you for being a good God. And I thank you for being a rewarder of those who diligently seek you. And Father, in this place and in Fort Worth, I thank you for that reward to come through for every person that's been believing and standing on your promises. Father, I thank you that when we stand on your word, you stand for us.
Yes.
So in the mighty name of Jesus, whatever that might be, whatever promises have gone unfulfilled, as of right now, we command them to be fulfilled. In the mighty name of Jesus. Father, thank you for breakthroughs. Thank you for turnarounds. Thank you for the manifestation of what we've been praying for. In the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we release that even into the spirit now. In Jesus' name. Everything holding back the blessing. Everything holding back the promise. Everything holding back what we desire. Father, we command it to break open for us now. In the mighty name of Jesus. Every hindrance, everything slowing it down, we curse it at its root and command it to wither in the mighty name of Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
And Father, I thank you that this month of April, just as we've declared, would be the best month of our lives, like it is for Jonathan and I. May it be so for every person that's here. In Jesus' name, make every terrible situation great. Make every crooked path straight. In the mighty name of Jesus, let your goodness, your blessing and your favor overflow in abundance to every person here. Let it overtake them, let it overwhelm them, and let it embarrass them in the mighty name of Jesus, like it was with us, Father. Let even the words that come out of our mouths when we testify about your goodness astound us. Let it be like a dream, Father. Let it be like a dream and joy overflowing. Let it overflow into every area of our lives in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen.
Please read Psalm 126 over them.
Psalm 126. When the Lord brought back the captivity of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouths were filled with laughter and our tongues with singing.
Boss, that's what this scripture is like. That's what happened to her in the airport. That God will actually do something. You're like you're in a dream world. I laid on my bed when I got the phone. What's going on? Hey, here's a church in Texas. Here's a house in Pittsburgh. And then I can't even get through the night and somebody's handing me gold like I'm a pirate. Arr, I have an offering for you. What is this? This is a different world.
Yeah.
I pray from today, you live in a different world. The tears of yesterday forever erased. The only tears you cry from now on are tears of joy.
Hallelujah.
Then was our mouth. And I was hugging Adonis in the kitchen last night when we finally got home. I said, does this make you feel like doing less for God or more for God? When prosperity comes, it'll take God's place in your heart. Are you kidding me? If God will reward me with that for this little that I've done,
You're going to see a new worker, my friend.
Yes.
If you wait till you're going to see the best of me. I love that guy. I love him. You left him because he gave you a house? Mm-hmm. What about him dying for you? Also that, I can love for many things. Can you say amen? Good. Good.
Oh. Then our mouths were filled with laughter and our tongues with singing. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad. Bring back our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy.
Yes.
He who continually goes forth weeping, bearing seed.
Precious seed. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, your best, shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing in his harvest. Precious seed provokes astounding harvest.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sorry, this was an abnormal sermon. But it's hard to go through something like that and not let it out. And I think you do a disservice as a pastor to let the Lord bless you like that. And I didn't talk about it though, because some people, you know, six people got up and walked. So I'm going to deprive you of that message, because six people that got bussed in the back, it was too much. All right, do your gangster lean out the door. Won't make any difference to me. I'm not going to shut up about the blessing of God because some people don't like it. God likes it. And I'm telling you, because if you're living in your cousin's house, you don't have to stay in your cousin's house. You can get the Bible and rise high, higher than your own parents thought you'd ever go, higher than your family and your teachers thought you would go. All God wants is to be first. Stay up with me, because I won't see you for a week. You may be seated. We are going to receive an offering. We receive an offering every service because the Bible says to. If I preach on hell, we receive an offering. I want you, as we head into Passover this week, you always have a reason to expect from God. But Passover's like Christmas. You can buy gifts for your family anytime, but at Christmas, they have a reason to expect you to buy them a gift. And Passover is a visitation season. It's a forever feast. You will always tell your children about when I brought you out of Egypt. Psalm 105:37, he brought them out of Egypt loaded with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble among the tribe. This was the most financially buoyant week we've ever had in the history of our ministry, obviously. So this is not an offering being collected from need. We need your help. It's not that. I want to give you the opportunity. And that's not like a consultant word. Offerings are not trying to help God keep his church afloat. That gives you a donation mentality. It's a covenant action. I didn't give that $20,000 of our money last week because the church is having a rough time. We're doing the best we've ever done. That wasn't for the church. That was for me. And I need a place on an altar to put it. What are you believing God to do for you? God will take precious seed and the thing that you're saving up for. He'll just give you the whole thing. That house will very shortly, with inflation, be $1 million. $1 million home. I wouldn't have looked at $1 million home in a magazine. He said, when do you think you can move in? I said, if it's all right with you, I'm going to start moving in tomorrow. I'm going to get in there faster than a New York City squatter. I have no shame. He said, well, how are you going to break it? Well, you have to break your lease? I said, I think I can get them to break it for me. So I'm going to go sit in an above ground pool in our front yard till they kick us out of the neighborhood in like Garfield swimming trunks. And just yell at Adalys, bring me an iced tea. Hey, you have to get out of here. All right, if you say so. Yep, punch that devil in the face. That's what that Cash App thing was about. I knew it ahead of time. Devil, when he gets upset about money, it's because there's a blessing coming. Say it out loud. When the devil starts messing, God starts blessing. Pharaoh kept turning up the heat. And God said, let him do whatever he wants. I'm going to take all his silver and all his gold, and I'm going to take you out in one night, and you're going to eat unleavened bread as a sign forever that the bread didn't even have time to rise. That's how fast I brought you out. That would have been a 100-year political process for them to get a party together and go into the Constitution and all that. So anyway, I've said enough. I haven't said enough, actually. If I had my way, if people weren't human beings, I'd preach straight till my plane left at 4 and then just hop on and pick up in Washington. I love the Bible. I love the Bible, and I love cheesesteaks, and I love her. And her. And a lot of the people that are here. And you. Changed my life. That Bible changed my life. It'll change your life. Anyway, give you 1 minute. If you're watching online, revivaltoday.com, click give now. If you need an offering envelope, hold up your hand and they'll give you one. Stay with me. I don't know why you're always abandoning. I know. Stay by me. I'm not going to get to see you for 6 days. I get a little hug or roo. I love you. Sorry for making you miss children's church. I just wanted to see you. I love you. All my family that's here. I love you, Jess. You're a great sister. I love you, Brother Tony. I love you so much, I don't even remember which one's my blood relative, to be honest with you. I love you. I love your brothers or whatever they are. The two guys that tag along with you. The muscle. I love you guys. Love you. Love you guys. Proud of you. California track star. Future Revival Today Bible Institute attendee. I love you with all my heart. Love you. Thanks for coming. Love you. I love you, Missy. All right. Hold your seat up before the Lord. Let me pray over your offering. I love all you too. It'd get weird to do that to like a few hundred people. Father, I thank you for a hundredfold return on every precious seed that's sown. I thank you for your word that says those that come bearing precious seed will doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing in their sheaves. You're a wonderful God. We love you. In Jesus' name. Before you receive the offering, every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here, everything began with if you'll hearken diligently to my commands. When Paul taught on the offering in 2 Corinthians 8, he said about the Macedonian church, their first action was to give themselves to God and to us. You can give in all the offerings in the world. If you're not born again, yeah, you will. You'll still harvest because the law of seed time and harvest works for anybody. But what difference does it make if you go to hell? Then sin comes in and can destroy the blessing. You know, a cocaine addiction will eat at your money. Depression will eat at your money. Sickness eats at your money. And then eternity in hell is awful. When we did that funeral yesterday for my Uncle Sam, as sad as a funeral is, it can only get to a certain threshold because he's to know someone's with the Lord and that you'll see them again is a wonderful thing. What about you? Can you identify a specific time in your life where you've given your life to Jesus Christ? If you've never done that, or you once did, and you say, Jonathan, I let my fire go out. Maybe money stress, maybe a business failure took the place of God. You just got off track. Things went haywire. You say, I want to come back to the Lord. Or like that couple that we played. I want to give my life. Something's been stirring in me that I need God. I want to pray with you quickly. I won't keep you long. I've already kept you long enough, but we're going to say a powerful prayer together. If you need to do that, I want you to put your hand up high and wave it at me, and we'll pray right now in Jesus' name. I see you, sir. Keep your hand up. I see you. Awesome. That's awesome. Awesome. Okay, very quickly, just come and meet me right here, and we're going to pray, and I'll turn you right back to your seats. Come right now in Jesus' name. Come right up. Everybody lift it in. Come. Don't be embarrassed. Come, my friend. I'll walk. Anybody else before? Well, this is awesome. Anybody else before we pray? Sing it one more time. Sing it if you know it. You want to think a story about getting a free house and some gold would produce any salvations, but here we are. Say this prayer from the depth of your heart, and a real God's going to hear you. You're not joining this church, though I hope you will. You're joining the kingdom of God. All I'm doing is pointing you to God. Kofi, you can take things, or whoever's in Fort Worth today, you can take things in Fort Worth. Sorry, I zoned out. Say this out loud, nice and loud. Heavenly Father, I turn my back on sin. I repent. I believe in my heart. You raised Jesus from the dead. I confess with my mouth. Jesus is Lord and my Savior. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Fill me with your power. Where I was weak, give me your strength. In Jesus' name, I am saved. I am forgiven. I am clean in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Thank you for sharing the Jonathan Shuttlesworth podcast. If you're interested in supporting our mission to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ to our generation, please visit revivaltoday.com and click on Give Now to become one of our monthly partners. Thank you in advance. We hope to see you soon.